This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We thank you for worshiping with us today and invite you to join us every week for Sunday worship on this station.
How do Christians evaluate their faith? We're going to talk about that question in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray this day that you will increase our faith, that where we cannot understand with the mind, we can lay hold in faith, that your words are truth, and that you will bless us in that truth if we will but follow you. And so we thank you that your word points out very clearly our need for a relationship. Help us, Holy Spirit, to so grow in that faith that it may be evident to those who live round about us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, in evangelical Christianity, we talk a great deal about a personal relationship with Christ. We believe that Jesus speaks to us very, very clearly in his word whenever we will open it. And we also have been invited by him to talk from our standpoint about the problems and the situations of the day and to give thanks in our prayer life. So if the Christian faith is growing, we see that it's pretty obvious and we can sense it even within ourselves. And yet it's nice to be able to really sit back and say, how am I doing in my relationship with God? Have you done that recently? Do you dare to do it? Sometimes it's very encouraging, other times it is a bit discouraging. Well, we have a text today that sort of speaks to that particular question. It's a different setting, but it can certainly be applied to us who live in this 21st century in the Christian faith. It is recorded in the fourth chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He has gone to teach in the synagogues, and everyone was pleased with what they heard and saw. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's victory." Then he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendants and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. That's far in our text. We know that the Jews were very faithful in coming to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. They were keeping the law that God had given to them. On this particular day, there's every reason to believe that it started out to be a rather routine service. Jesus was present. He was known as the man who ran the carpenter shop, and he was there every Lord's Day, so it was not unusual to see him perhaps sitting with Mary and a brother, sister, whatever it might have been. Now, the rabbi had done his part in the service, and there was that time when people could have a part in the service themselves. And Jesus stood up, and a scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And that portion that he read in Nazareth synagogue on that particular Sabbath day is what our text is today. Notice he says, "This is going to be a bit different for you today. I come to you not as the carpenter of Nazareth, but rather I come to you as the promised Messiah. I stand here before you not on my own strength, but I stand here by God's strength, and I am inspired from God." He said it this way, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Now here were these old Jewish people faithful to God as far as the worship was concerned. And they began to listen, and if any one of them was sleeping, somebody really gave him a hard nudge. Jesus is saying this is the beginning of a new day. All the things that have been foretold by the prophets has now become about. And there he stands. He is a Messiah. He is going to preach good news to the poor. And that was not just those who were financially poor, but poor in all of the aspects of life. He was going to preach freedom for the prisoners. And this was not just those who had committed some terrible crime against the state and were serving their days there in prison, but this was for those who were also spiritually imprisoned, who knew not where they were going, who wondered sometimes what it was all about in their relationship with God. And then finally, he was going to open the eyes of the spiritually blind, to show them that God is a God of love, to show them that God has been with him all the time, and he had spoken to them through the prophets, but they had often not heard. And then he says, "I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord." They perhaps had asked, like we ask today. We ask, what's it going to be like when the Lord returns? Christians believe that. It's in the Word of God. It's a part of the confessions of the church. What will that day be like? And sometimes we make some struggles and try to put a few things in Scripture together and say, this is the way it's going to be. But no one knows even the hour when he is going to come. Jesus said that very, very clearly. But he is going to come. And this was a particular time in the economy of a God when Jesus Christ was about to start his ministry. He had been living on this earth for approximately 30 years now, but it was time for him to get started. It would take about 3 years to complete all of this, and after he had died at the cross of Calvary and had been raised on Easter Sunday morning, the gospel was in focus, and then was to come Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's appearance on this world, and the disciples, those who believed in him, were going out to tell the good news to the far corners of the earth. There was a response in the synagogue that Sunday, and it varied from time to time. Now, here we begin to talk about evaluating how the Christian's relationship with God can be on the basis of what happened in that synagogue on that Sabbath day. I think that Dr. Teede is right in his commentary on this book of Luke when he says their response was anywhere from a mild disbelief to furious anger. The person who could have been sitting there and who knew Jesus quite well from the carpenter shop thought he is such a kind person. We really enjoy listening to him teach. And they were so proud that a man with that capability without a doubt came from their community. So now they perhaps have a little bit of a mild disbelief to begin with, at least some of them did. And they said, well, he's going a bit too far. He's claiming to be the Messiah. A great teacher he is, but to be the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel? That's too much. How much did they really know about Jesus? They didn't know what had happened 30 years ago when he was born in a manger at Bethlehem. They did not know that he was received in this particular way, born of a virgin. They did not know that he had gone through all of the Jewish rituals being presented to the high priest in Jerusalem. They did not know that he had to flee for his life in the arms of his father and mother because Herod was after him. These things were kept pretty quiet. The Bible says that Mary kept all of these things in her heart. She didn't share them with her friends. And now this, all of a sudden, like a blow from out of heaven, stands Jesus and he says, this is it. This is how God has come in the person of my own being. I am the promised Messiah. So they began to say, well, no. And others became a little bit angry that he had such an ego that he would say this. And finally, the anger was so bad that it was furious. And they were not satisfied until they had put him out of existence. They treated him as a false prophet. Up to the hills on the cleft, they were ready to throw him over. And he was to go to his death. We could not have a man who was just an ordinary carpenter standing around saying, I am the Messiah. Well, they took him out to the hill, but when they were about to execute him, he came right away from them as if nothing had happened. But in the synagogue, they knew that something had happened, and they never forgot it. I wonder if on next Sabbath day, when they gathered together, that was not the topic of discussion. Why did we act so emotionally, they could well have thought. And here you have the relationship of people to God. When everything is going kind of routine-like, and that not too much is expected of me, and I just take one day at a time and don't get too excited about what the Christian faith is all about, then it is excellent. Then I can say, I am growing in my faith, or at least I have plateaued in my faith. But now when you really begin to let the Holy Spirit speak to you, when the Savior who said, I have come to really tell you who I am, I'm going to dig deeply into your soul. I want you to move beyond this very immature relationship that we have together. First, I want you to know And I have said it to you through the biblical writers, that I was born in Bethlehem of Judea to a woman who knew no man. I was virgin born. And I tried to reveal to the people of that day through John's gospel that I was the God incarnate. Now here we pick ourselves up. We've just gone through Christmas. Is it true or not that some might have had an experience right here? Yeah, I can believe that Jesus is a great man. I love his teachings. I love to have them expounded on. But when he gets into this whole matter of being the God-man, now this is people living in our day. We're evaluating our faith. Do I really believe what I have confessed? And he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he is a God incarnate? Or do I say it, but well, I have some reservations. You go a little bit further and you begin to talk about this thing of the forgiveness of sin. And I read through my Bible and I hear sermon after sermon after sermon that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I can't help but believe that there's something more that's got to be added. I guess some would tell me that I've robbed myself because I haven't grown any farther in my faith of any assurance. That I know that whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. I can't be sure of that. Have I lived a good enough life? Does God really want me? You see, there's a doubt here. You're evaluating your faith. Do you really believe that you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? I don't mean just intellectually, within your heart. Then you have a peace which passes all understanding. Oh, it's not logical. No free lunch, that's a philosophy that is logical. But here Jesus is saying, this is who I am. I have come to die on a cross to pay the price for the sins of the world. And if by grace through faith you will receive me, you are my child and your sins are forgiven. How are you doing in your evaluation of your faith? Death comes into your family. A loved one is taken away. You listen to the pastor as he comes and ministers to you in the privacy of your home. In preparation for the funeral, you listen to him at the funeral, and he continually reads that passage of Scripture from the 11th chapter of John. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Is it that clear? Do I really know for sure what's heaven going to be like? Is it really true, or is this just something that you're consoling us with in those very, very difficult times? What is the evaluation of your faith at the hour when a loved one is taken away, or when you are preparing for your own death? And you lie there alone in the middle of the night, and the prognosis is as clear to you as it was to any of your relatives who heard it. I'm going to die. But Jesus said, lay, just die, trusting in me, and all will be well. How do you evaluate your relationship in the light of that great teaching of our Lord? Now let's turn to the life that we live while we're here, not just the dogmas. As Jesus said that we are to love our neighbors, do I really love them? Do I really serve them as he wants me to do? Am I willing to forgive one of them when they really hurt you? You've got to forgive him. This is about the time that I have to say, well, I let my stubborn personality take over. I'm going to get even with that person. A pound of flesh. Where do you stand in your evaluation, friend, of what's between you and God? And then there's a lot of talk that's done in the church about stewardship, the giving of our money, the giving of our time. And I'm prone to believe, well, you have to be sensible about this too. A few extra dollars won't hurt much, but wouldn't you really begin to take stewardship seriously and give and give and give? And give not only of your money, but of your time. When you're really a busy person, this is when sometimes you can almost get so angry, away with it all. I am disgusted with this presentation, year in and year out. And that can only be topped by witnessing. When the pastor stands there and tells you to go out and share your faith with the people who are around about you, letting them know what Jesus Christ has done for you. Isn't there such a thing as a quiet, a silent Christianity? Do I always have to be telling others what he has done for me? Oh, there can be some very, very harsh times. Yes, as you have walked along with me, with talking about loving the enemy, a stewardship, witnessing, that he is a God incarnate, that he died for my sins. How there do you evaluate your relationship with God? I'm sure that many of us will say, I have a personal relationship with God. I know that I'm growing, but my faith is imperfect. It is not what I want it to be. Neither were some of the disciples. Peter's wasn't perfect when he denied him in the courtyard the night that Jesus was betrayed. I never knew the man, even used an oath to deny him. But look what that man turned out to be. His relationship grew. He was weighing it all the time, the relationship. Paul said, not that I have attained, but I press on. I haven't become the man that I want to be yet, but God is still working within me. And his will be done, and I will get firm in my faith, such as I have never been before. While we realize that our part of the relationship with God is imperfect, here's the gospel. God's relationship with you is perfect. He is not growing in his relationship to accept you. He's not saying, maybe I can really accept that person when he has become almost perfect. No. Your God loves you, friend. He loves you where you are. He wants you to be his, and he wants you to grow in that faith. And the way that you grow in that faith so that you can say a year from now, now I can understand what this sermon was all about. I have to evaluate myself, and I just see Jesus Christ taking over in my life. Ah, that's what he wants. And that's the way we can begin yet this new year, living with him in his word and in prayer. And he will make that faith grow. And the relationship will be strong and more effective every day in the lives of you and your family and those who are around about you. For they have seen what Christ can do when he is permitted to work the good faith in your heart. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your patience with us. You were not only patient with Israel when they turned their backs on you again and again, but you are the same patient God revealing your love for us. Our growth may be very slow in that relationship with you, but you never cast us aside. So, Lord Jesus, we pray this day that you will give us the insights into evaluating our relationship with you, and that we may live in your word and in prayer to have a daily communication that can bring us only closer and closer. These are the petitions that we ask this day. Lord, be merciful to me and to all who listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message will provide a strong foundation for you in the coming week. A number of devoted Christian Crusaders listeners has chosen to include Christian Crusaders in their estate planning. In this way, these donors leave a legacy of faith in Christ that extends far beyond their time on earth. To learn more about including Christian Crusaders in your estate planning, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Or you can direct all gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a weekly preview of the upcoming program, which you can receive via email. To receive this e-newsletter, call us or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. You can also join our mailing list to receive our quarterly print newsletter, The Crusader, which contains a special article by Reverend Larson, as well as news about our ministry. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 48 years. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of broadcasting biblical truth.